Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Stacy Dales of the NFL Network. She joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Stacy, finally home, finally out of London, for God's sake.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Guys, mind my voice today because I am, I walked off the plane, and as soon as I walked off the airplane on Monday night, I had that thing in my throat, and I'm just glad it didn't happen while I was there because it was an awesome 2 weeks, and boy, you know, being on that flight coming back, the Bears fans on that flight, and just there's such a different aura. I can't even explain to you guys what this thing felt like to see what he did and what this team collectively did in London. And I know it was the Jags, and I know the Jags aren't very good, and I know the Panthers aren't very good, but those are games you're supposed to win and win with dominance, and that's exactly what Chicago has done.
And in your interview with him as he's walking off the field, he tells you, he wants to talk about the mistake he made rather than the glory that occurred during the course of that game and the four touchdown passes, and maybe it could have been five. DJ Moore stopped at the goal line. But my God, that is such a good attitude for him to have. And I got to tell you, every time I hear that guy talk, every time he's had great training or he really is sincere and he wants to be a great player, and I think it's the latter.
I totally agree, Mully. There's so much good I have to say about this young man. Conversations before the game, right? It's my favorite time when I'm on the field talking to, you know, executives with the team and what have you, and, you know, just talking to Ryan Poles, and I know he'd be okay if I shared this, but, his ability to handle adversity, but then how many times have we done this show together? And I've talked about the first thing that I learned from Lincoln Riley is he is fixated on his mistakes. Mm-hmm. So to watch him, to be down as sort of a fly on the wall on that sidelines, it was incredible to witness the body language and the disposition of this football team. And when I say that, this team, I mean the defense is sitting there on the bench, all different position groups, watching their Bears offense go to work. I can't remember when there was that much joy in the defense as they kind of watched this thing evolve throughout the course of the game in London. And knowing confidently that these guys are going to score, but when he threw that interception, I was right behind his location where he sits, and he came over and I could see him. You know, we're not supposed to kind of take the words out of their mouth and air them, but I did a quick report that he basically said that was a touchdown. What was I doing? And then to go on and throw four touchdowns, and then for him to bring that up in our post-game interview, the first thing out of his mouth, accountability, I shouldn't have thrown that ball, or I've got to be better, or whatever it was. And then for, you know, Ryan Poles to say one of the most impressive things is how he's handled adversity. I learned so much sitting in production meetings. Matt Eberflus told us that, you know, he is really hard on himself, and he's got to remind him to have more grace and be more gracious. And I just think that speaks to Bears fans should be so pumped because this guy wants to be great, and he has all the tools to be that way. And then in other conversations I had, Mully and David, two things from offensive coaches that recurringly have been told to me and were told to me in London, his vision and his command. There are these clips that are circulating on X, whatever you want to call it, of his vision and his scanning. And Kurt Warner talked about it in the game. Right. He is moving that head on a swivel, and he's seeing the game. He's seeing it in a different way now, in a better way. And then his command at the line of scrimmage has drastically improved. I mean, his improvement from week one to week six, and now they get the bye. By the way, this bye is so critical for him. Mm. And that's another conversation I had. He has not had a break from training camp to the start of the season to now. He's finally getting a break this week, and it's going to be a great mental refresher before they see the Commanders in the following week.
So, Stacy, you were there for 2 weeks, so we consider you our London expert in all things related to football and jet lag. But I wonder, The Bears had their second choice for the hotel, so they were put an hour away from the city, which I think almost turned out to be a blessing in disguise, perhaps, because it seemed like it was idyllic, the English countryside. They had the personal practice fields, and the Bears seemed like the better prepared team. I wonder, do you think other teams now, because the science and the data is kind of mixed, will they look at the Bears having established a template for how to do the London trip right?
I don't think so, David, because they all have their way. The Jacksonville Jaguars always go Thursday, and they always land Friday. And they're there for 2 weeks. They have a game against the Patriots this coming Sunday. So I just think, you know, Palouse told us in our meetings, like, they went to the science, and they felt like leaving Monday, landing Tuesday. And I really think with a rookie quarterback, especially, and an offense that is slowly finding its identity, I really think that was a good decision for them. They were ready to go. They just were. They were ready to go. There was confidence. There was conviction. I just felt like there was such conviction in their performance. And I just think every team does it different, because some teams have done it, David, and they've gone over Thursday and won Friday. Like, I just had the Vikings. They always do Thursday to Friday. And they won when I was there and 2 years ago in 2022 in Kevin O'Connell's first year, and they won this game, obviously, this past last weekend. So I think that it's all about who's your personnel, who are you taking and heeding advice from, and but certainly it worked for the Bears.
This segment with Stacy Dales is brought to you by McGrath Acura in Westmont. When you do the math, you choose McGrath. And as David mentioned, Stacy has been in London for a couple of weeks. She's already apologized. She's really fighting an English accent. choking back an English accent.
You're not supposed to make me laugh, Molly.
I'm just curious, as we look at Caleb, and you mentioned he hasn't had any kind of break, but now he gets a week off. All the players have a week off. I'm sure he's still, you know, doing whatever he has to do, and if there's any treatment need, whatever he needs to do. But he's heading home, and he's going to be facing the Washington Commanders. And it's a great matchup with the guy taken second in the NFL draft with Jaden Daniels. And he knows Cliff Kingsbury. Oh, and by the way, it's Montez Sweat going back to Washington. I just think that there is a lot of fun for a guy that tends to meet the moment, who likes to have the big game. I think this is going to be a lot of fun coming out of the break.
I do, too. I this is exciting. We were talking about that with my crew. Rich Eisen particularly was like, he's like, we got to talk about this on the broadcast in London, because it's just going to be such a momentous game, given all the hyperbole, right, that we've all been experiencing with this surge of Jaden Daniels, who, you know, obviously they're coming off a loss, but they should certainly beat the Panthers this week. It's a home game for them. And I think they lost last weekend to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, they did. And so I there's a lot of storylines, but what I really like and appreciate is how level-headed Caleb Williams is. So I don't think the moment's not going to ever be too big for him. And that is so exciting to me if you are a Bears fan. He is really smart, you guys. I'll just give you a quick example. When we met with him on Thursday of last week in our meetings, he made a very specific point that, and this is a small thing, but it's a big thing. He specifically said, I have got to get Keenan Allen going. I have to. I've got to get him in the end zone. We have to get him in the end zone. And this, he said, we got to do it this week. We got to do it this week. He had a slow start, obviously, with the injury. What did we see? Mm-hmm. He had a goal. He had a purpose. He goes into that game on Sunday, and he finds Keenan Allen, who's, you know, been so productive in his now 13th season, like, or 12th, whatever it is. This guy's really smart, and I think that the moment won't be too big for him next week against Jaden Daniels. And I think with this Bears defense, I was extremely impressed with the ability to not have Jaquan Brisker and Tyreek Stevenson. And guess who led them in tackles?
Jalen Jones.
Jalen Jones.
Yep.
I mean, I, I, I was talking to Peanut Tillman before the game and at Tottenham, and we were talking about the secondary. I'm like, you got to be pumped, right? Like, he's pumped about this defense, you guys. And we were talking about Jalen, and Peanut was saying, yeah, I talked to him earlier today. He said, I told him, you just got to go out and you got to do your job, make your plays on the ball when they're there, and don't play outside of yourself. Because it was a huge start for him, right? Mm-hmm. And yep. I just think that the defense is really good. And I think that, you know, in all areas, like Tremaine Edmonds told us, like, he can't say this guy's the best defensive player on our team. Like, it is really a collection. And his motto is, as he said to us, all right, all wrong. They are very united. And then you have an offense that's now scoring points, as we've seen. And I just can't recall this much fervor and excitement in Chicago in a long time when it comes to complimentary football.
Stacey, last Friday when we talked to you, you provided us some tremendous content that took on a life of its own with the first 15 and then the openers and Matt Eberflus's consequent. He explained himself a little bit better, a little clearer, so we knew what exactly the Bears were dealing with. Curious what your feedback and response was and what you thought about the offense's approach Sunday against the Jags.
I think this is a team that has an incredible level of dialogue and respect for each other. I think that, you know, it's interesting because when you put news like that out, you don't ever want it to be negative. And then you'll get people that may be listening now or not that are going to say, well, what's the point? Who cares? Well, when I have players tell me how important it was, it's important. So when I have Mercedes Lewis, and it's positive, right? Like, this was a decision made collectively just to give this guy, this offense, more focus and a more deliberate focus. Take out the guesswork. And, you know, to not have a definitive script. Have they scored on their opening drive this season? No, they haven't. But what it did was it gave a very specific focus to the offense, to where now you get locked in, and those plays may not work because they follow them sequentially, but I think it was a galvanizing turning point for them, and that's why it was important to me. When you have player feedback with coaches and coaches are open to it, Shane Waldron, tip of the cap to him, because he changed something that the players wanted, and he did it, and they're all happy about it. And now they have some power and freedom, and they feel like this is their baby, right? So I have a lot of respect when there's dialogue, and I think that's what you saw from the Bears, and I think that's why that was important to me as we discussed it last week.
I'm curious what your thoughts are on Tom Brady becoming an NFL owner. He now has 5% of the Oakland Raiders. I'm just curious about the idea that will this impact how he does games? You know, he's got this $375 million 10-year deal from Fox. He won't be able to go into any of the facilities of opposing teams. He won't be able to go to any of the production meetings. It's just, I'm just curious if as a broadcaster you think this impacts him, or is he sort of above the fray because he's Tom Brady?
It's a really good question, Molly. I think this is a business decision.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, when we saw Tom start, like, he's the greatest quarterback of all time, right? Like, I think maybe it's challenging for these former players to opine on a broadcast. I don't know if you guys agree, but I think that could have maybe been a little bit of what was happening. I think he realizes that, you know, giving his opinion and criticizing in a polite way quarterbacks on air and offenses and defenses and what they're doing is part of the gig. I think because of the way he approached the game and his business mind, I mean, he was able to separate as a player the personal from the business all the time. There's a lot of former teammates that probably have a few stories that they, you know, a few O-linemen along the way that, like, he pissed off a little bit because of the way he screamed at him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he got wins. Like, we all saw the Baker Mayfield thing, right? Like, this isn't a daycare. Like, we got to win, and we got to win Super Bowls, and nobody's done it like him. So I think he'll be able to separate it. But it is interesting because what can of worms, Molly, is it opening for other former players that have roles in the media, or on teams or whatever the case may be. So it'll be interesting if he's got a Raiders game, but I don't see them in primetime anytime soon.
No. But we only got a minute, Stacey, but we just heard you talk about the value of production meetings last week in London preparing for the Bears game. If he's not able to attend those meetings that are so valuable to reporters like yourself or analysts like we see, can he do the job as well as he could typically just because he is Tom Brady?
I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to see how this TV thing works out for him this year. Right. Does he like it? Is he having fun? I mean, is he being himself? Like, you know, like, it's not an easy seat. It just isn't. I mean, the work that goes into that role, like, I'm in our, so by the way, every London location, you guys, is an hour to an hour and a half from the city. Every NFL site that they stay at, it's an hour to an hour and a half drive. So you're dealing with a 3-hour commute. In the process of those commutes, I always ride with Kurt. I wanted to ride with Kurt because I learned stuff from him. And I pick his brain for like an hour. And then he loves it. He pulls out his touchscreen and we go over tape together because he breaks down the quarterback position like nobody else. Mm. And his level of preparation for a game is insanity. So you gotta want to do it. And I don't know. I've not ridden an hour with Tom Brady out to Hanbury.
Good answer, Stacey.
You know, so we'll see if he likes it. We'll see if this business venture is something that he's more interested in, you know, in a few years from now. But obviously he wants to be a part of the business side of it, and he's doing it. Pretty cool.
Awesome stuff. Thanks so much, Stacey. Great stuff.
Thanks, Stacey.
Great to be with you guys. Take care.